we want to share all about the darkness and all the things that are going on there. But we want to share, you know, the answers. This is not about just, you know, telling everybody about the, you know, dark things that are occurring and the ugly things that are happening behind the scenes. I mean, there's incredible things. There is a need for massive exposure. There is a need for telling everybody about, you know, what's causing the dismantling of the economic and political system. What that feeling in the air is concerning dread and angst that is all around us. So we're going to talk about tonight and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Friday night about knowing the danger, about knowing the truth, about knowing our weapons, and about knowing the source of which we need to help us and give us perspective in the middle of all of it. So I hope that as you listen and have been listening, we pray that we can give answers also. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, our organization, ShatterTheDarkness.net. ShatterTheDarkness.net. Again, welcome to all. Welcome to those who have been tuning in from all over the place. And we are, again, surprised and pleased with so many of the emails and requests for the newsletter. Listen, if you're new to my voice, I just want to ask you to hang in for a while and listen to what we have to share. We do want to tell you that on the Shatter the Darkness website, there are hundreds of other downloads of MP3s that we're giving away, and we trust that they're going to help you. We want to also say that all of these daily live shows that are being done Monday at 6 p.m., Tuesday at 7 p.m., Wednesday at 6 p.m., and Friday at 6 p.m., all Eastern Standard Time, they're all being archived also, so you can go to the site. And actually, you can go to the site, shatterthedarkness.net, and you'll see where it says live radio. And you'll look at where it says topic. And so each week we'll put up the topic. This week it's how to protect yourself in these days. Let me say, in these radical days, how do you protect yourself? Well, I think it's important that we understand. And understanding's a big part of all of it. It's a crazy thing to live in life, and things go wrong all around you, and you don't understand. Some of you have read the story of Job in the Bible, and the incredible story of all these things occurred to him. Crashing down of his house, the death of children, the loss of all of his finances, the diseases that struck him. And while he was going through all of it, he did not have the answer. He didn't know why. And we see the pain and we see the trauma that he goes through. We find out in the end of the story that, we read the story, but he found out at the end that there is a dark presence behind the pain and the terror and the hurt, all of it. In a fallen world, there is this presence that brings the pain and trauma and disillusionment. And listen, it is global. It is ramping up. And that same biblical revelation of the Bible, the whole of it, tells us in prophetic fashion that in the last days, the dark presence that dealt with Job, that we can learn about the presence and mode of operation. And that's very important for us to understand that. Now, people said, well, why did God play a game with Job? God didn't play a game with Job. Satan was here because, listen, humanity opened the door. We opened the door and allowed him to have legal rights into the world and affected, our genetic makeup, in a sense. We now have the death gene. Our physical bodies are dying. And that is connected to the presence of the fallen cherub. Take a read, do a little thinking, on the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. You're going to see the connection between death, its existence, fear, and the power of Satan. You're also going to see in that enormous revelation the incredible compassion of God and the reason why Jesus Christ came into the world. He came to conquer death and sin and hell and all of it, and he did. Listen, if you're listening and you've got a background as a New Ager or, listen, a soldier or maybe somebody that's seeking, consider what's being said. There's more to all that is going on than just sheer human greed and human selfishness and human evil. There is a presence that's beyond, and we are told again, and I'm going to say very clearly, in biblical prophetic form, that the targets are political and military, which involves the economic, and it involves globalism, and it involves lives. So there's a great influence, a ramping up, and I'll say it again, as never before in history. Now, as you know, Steve Quell has so clearly, for years, have shared as a watchman the warnings and so forth. And the warnings are getting broader, deeper, more specific, detailed, because the time draws near. And what's been said for some time and what we've been saying for the last couple of years is the unprecedented ramping up and development that's behind the shaking, the collapsing, the destabilization of just about everything around us. So it's very important that we hear about it, know about it. In Job's case, he went through all that trauma, all that craziness. See, when Satan does attack even believers, it's bizarre. It's a setup. It's sequential. It's meant to crack faith and bring people down and get people mad at God. That's part of the MO. Maybe you're out there right now and you're mad at God. Things didn't go well. Things didn't go your way. You can't understand life. You can't understand what's going on. And all kinds of bad things occurred. And the goal behind all of it is the fallen cherub and the demonic whispering into your trauma and into your pain. Blame God. Where's God? Why didn't God help you? Why isn't God doing anything? They seek to turn the hearts of hurting, bitter humankind not only against God, but to open up to an alternative spiritual stream. It's no different than Genesis chapter 3. So listen, if you're a brand new listener, if you've been coming on here lately, we are again grateful. We're loving the time that we've had to be able to talk and share. We appreciate the hours that we've been given, and we're going to seek to use them faithfully. And for those that are great prayer warriors out there, keep us in your prayers. I know you've prayed and keep Steve Quell in your prayers. Keep us in your prayers. We're going to continue to share some of the extraordinary things that are going on in the world around us. We're going to continue to warn and bring these exposure, you know, to the dark side out. There is absolutely an incredible amount of things. So when we go looking, as we have over the years, under the carpet, per se, in finding what we have found in the development, and listen, I call it this, the sequence of satanic evolution. And there is a sequence to it. And there is a spiritual evolution to his presence in the world. And it can be detected. It can be seen in politics, in the military, in the economic system, in the shadow elitists that are behind all three of those realms. Those are major. Now, it translates to being down on the street where our kids are, where there is satanic crime that has occurred, where many of the so-called chosen ones, those who have been purposely split and made to have multiple personality disorder and have satanic demonic presence within them, you got to realize that when there's over 4 million, It's an enormous, enormous picture of what has been going on behind the scenes the last 60 years. You see, this all of this, the economic, the political shift, and even the military dream, it didn't occur overnight. Globalism didn't just come up last week. And I'm going to tell you again, there is no globalism from beginning to end without the spirit, the presence, the power of the fallen cherub behind all of it. The inspiration of the ideas of it. The kind of voiced skull that those who have written down the materials, well, back in the 30s and 40s, how that material has communicated itself and got into the development of where we are now. There's a raging thing going on. I hope you know that. Listen, if you're brand new coming on, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. And we want to tell you tonight that we do have a book coming out called The Black Awakening. Many people have heard about that. That was the basis of why Steve Quayle first interviewed me. And that book is, it's going to be probably a week or 2 weeks. I can't even calculate the days. I'm just excited about it that we'll have it in our hands and the shipping will begin in about a week or so. So take a look at the website and look at the left side. Those who have gotten the pre-orders, I know you're past a 45-day waiting period that I tried to set, and we're offering you some free things and some great values just because you've waited. I know that Amazon takes 3, 4, 5 months, but we wanted to try to do it quicker than that in pre-orders. But you'll be the first ones when the shipment comes in here that we'll ship to. Those who are ordering directly now, it may be anywhere from 10 days to, well, it could be 3 weeks depending upon where you live. But I want you to know that in the book, even though it's a 500-some page book, and I think that it's a vital book, a vital message, it's entitled The Black Awakening, Rise of the Satanic Super Soldiers. And you can see little video clips and messages and things and interviews that have been done all over the place. By the way, Joyce O'Reilly will be interviewing me on this subject of the Black Awakening and the Rise of Satanic Super Soldiers this Wednesday at 11 a.m., thepowerhour.com. Simply thepowerhour.com. And Rick Wiles, also from True News, last week interviewed us on the same topic. So I know that a lot of people have been involved, and even Dr. Stan Monteith have been very interested, and they're waiting for the book, and we're doing what we can to make sure we get it out there in the next week or two. Listen, in the book, there's these little pages that have coupons. And if you get the book, the coupon will give you a code when you go to the website, and you'll be able to enter it in and get a free download of some of the courses and conferences we do. That may be up to 24 one-hour MP3s. And you're going to be given two of those, one on spiritual warfare, one on the Black Awakening, the past conferences. So I'm telling you what's being given in the book is almost three times as much as the cost. And we want to do that because I believe we need to be prepared. I believe we need to be ready. And so this week, we're going to give this overview tonight, Knowing the Danger. Tuesday night at 7 p.m., Knowing Truth. Wednesday night at 6 p.m., Knowing the Power that we need. And then Friday, 6 p.m., Knowing God. See, all of this deals with the singularity of God. And we'll talk about the reasons why. So let me engage you, even the military folks out there. I'm glad you're listening in. I'm glad you're, you know, checking it out, and even the remote viewers and others. Because, listen, the motivation behind this voice is one simple thing: the compelling love of God. I can, you know, whether you believe or not, and whether you think that I'm crazy or not, all I can tell you is this: God is real. God loves us. God wants us. God knows us. And that there's a lot of spiritual things going on, a battle, a clash that's pouring out into the visible physical world again as never before in history. And if you believe the Bible at all, or you even take in the words of Jesus of Matthew 24, he said at the end of days, when all this globalism, rumors of wars, and all the stuff will be going on, it'll be the beginning of birth pangs. The full explosion is yet to come. And he says the days, listen, will be unprecedented. Never before in history and never again will such horrific, catastrophic, and chaotic things occur. So that's why we want to ring the alarm. I believe, the reason why, I believe, not only because evil's out there, evil's harming people, I've dealt with it, you know, victims for 25 years, I've seen the damage of mind control and the creation of the super soldiers and the kind of rituals that are going on. We've looked under the carpet and we see stuff, but we see that it's the fulfillment of biblical, what the Spirit of God has said would happen. And so there's a great big urgency. It's like if you're looking out your front window and you see your five-year-old child chasing his little ball as it's rolling out into the street, and you know that a truck is coming one way and a big car is coming the other way, and the child's not looking either direction, he's only looking at the ball and he's running towards the street, you better believe that any good parent is going to scream, run for the door, yell, do whatever they can to stop the child from entering the street and being decimated. I hope you can catch the passion behind what I'm saying. I see a truckload of evil and catastrophe coming. I see an SUV load of deception, seduction, manipulating evil that doesn't care about the human construct, whether you're 3 years old, 30 years old, or 90 years old. And I and many others must, by the Spirit of God's urgency, must scream out that front door as I run towards the precious child to protect them, to guard them. And I believe that's what God has done in the Word of God. I believe the urgency of the Spirit of God in all those worldwide that understand if you're yielded to the Spirit of God, if you're yielded to the Holy Spirit's language and words in prophetic revelation, then, my friends, you're going to have a sense of urgency about the days that we're living in. Heaven and hell are real. Life is short. And the reasons for all the trauma and the issue of death, well, it's answered at the cross. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I challenge again, maybe you're a New Ager, maybe you're a psychic, maybe you're into Hinduism, Buddhism, whatever you might be into, I'm going to challenge you to say this, that God's revelation brings a spiritual singularity into the discussion here, a finality. He answers the issue of human frailty, evil, pain, hurt. He answers the issue of death, what occurs. He answers the issues of origins and endings. Christ on the cross answers the issues of whether or not God cares. So tonight, as we touch in on a few things, by the way, you're more than welcome to send an email to shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And you can bring in questions if you'd like to. Send them in before the show or during the show. And we'd like to try to get back to you. Or bring it on the air. And again, we say that we hope down the road here to set up a chat room issue, too, to where possibly those who have computers can get in. Because we have a Sunday night show in which sometimes 40, 50, 60, and even 70 people will get into the chat room. And they'll be conversing and throwing up questions while we're doing the two-hour show. Maybe we'll be able to do that down the road. Let me just say that, you know, as I sit back in this, you know, the day that I'm living, my daughter's driving up you know, from another state. She's been away for 4 days. I'm a father. I care about my daughter. I care about what occurs. And I have no shame in saying I care about your life. I care about people around me. I well up with compassion and tears to see people's lives and what goes on. I have great urgency and compassion for those in military because I fear for them. I fear for them. I really do. I fear for the soldiers and those coming down the road, down the pike, what's going to occur. Because I know biblical prophecy and what's going to happen. So what I want to share tonight is this, because if you're someone who is listening to shows like this and you're hearing about the, you know, many different things that tell about the catastrophes and trouble and how close we are to the end, and you're reading Scripture and you see that a systematic level of Scripture is pointing to, well, this is it. It can't be but a number of years. Most anybody I know believes that the Antichrist is out there. Even people that are not really believers in Christ, there are those that believe that there is a... Listen, George Norrie from Coast to Coast again and again talks about conspiracy and the Illuminati or the people behind the scenes and what they're doing. He believes there's a global shatter government and so forth coming about. And there's discussions constantly about the Antichrist. But I want you to know something. For the Antichrist to have his, what's called in the Scriptures, apocalypse of Anthroposanamos, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the unveiling from where he's not seen to where he is seen, the idea the curtain is pulled back, which means that he's already been here. I mean, listen, when he is revealed to the world after the great chaos, you got to understand something. He may have been here 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. I don't know what his age is going to be. But he's been here for maybe a half a century. Born, bloodlined, the most supernaturally empowered individual outside of Christ in human history. Whereas Jesus comes to reveal the Father, to reveal God, to show everything, the light of the world, now we're going to be dealing with the greatest darkness in human history, the most sinister plot in human history, the plot that will bring the destruction of billions and the end of history, wrapped in a mask that smiles like a sexual predator, that puts people at ease. A mask that can be like an angel of light, but behind it is the core intent and the lethal agenda. So we know all about that. So we are into all of that. Now I'm going to tell you tonight that we're going to talk about knowing danger. And I want you, if you want to look at a Bible verse, many of you are believers, you like the Word of God, but if you're not, check it out anyway. I encourage you to, because there's a really simple little revelation in the book of Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Chapter 4, verse 2. And in this incredible little revelation, God is calling believers specifically, very sternly too, very strongly. There's a call behind this verse to all believers. And that call is to, well, be devoted, be committed, be faithful. I mean there's a it's not just faithfulness in prayer, it's the concept of active devotion. That, man, you are at your post, that you are there to pray, you believe in the power of prayer. Listen, if you've ever read about revivals, if you've ever read the Scriptures, you got to realize something. Every miracle, every sign, every wonder came through redeemed individuals who sought God, prayed, and became vessels of that mercy and grace. Look at the book of Acts sometimes, just simply that. 30-year history of the early church. Look at the signs, wonders, miracles, and all that occurred. The power of God being unleashed, and you're going to see something. you're going to see that all of it came through individuals that knew God and that prayed. Look at Acts chapter 2. Prayer's going on. The power of God, Pentecost comes. Look at Acts chapter 4. Prayer's going on. Scripture's being quoted. Prayer's being raised up. The power of God falls. Again and again and again, you're going to see that. Even when it comes to a confrontation with manifesting dark powers, the advance of the kingdom, the basileia, the rule, the reign of God, moves forward, saving, healing, delivering, helping, and lifting people up, and at the same time, crushing darkness, exposing the demonic, and destroying the works of the fallen cherub. That's how it's supposed to be. And if you want to know all about the dangers, and I do know some people, they see the danger, they move off to hide out. They see the danger, they buy 5 more locks for their door. They see the danger, I'm going to tell you right now, there might even be categories of individuals we can talk about. Let's think about it right now. This is just off the cuff. Categories of those who see the dangers. Number one, those who will run off and hide somewhere and dig a hole in the ground and hide out. Number two, there are those that see the dangers, close their eyes, cover their ears, and just make noises as if it will go away. And if they can get it out of their minds, they're living in la-la land, and they think that they're going to, listen, that's simply la-la land. Who's going to do anything by just simply closing your ears and closing your eyes to the reality in front of us? The parent that sees a child running towards the road with a raging truck and a raging SUV and the child's not looking, if the father or the mother just covers their ears, closes their eyes, and makes la-la noises, what good is that? What good is that? If they just run to the back room and hide themselves, their heads in a pillow, what good is that? If they run to the phone, here's the third category, run to the phone and call somebody else and just simply tell them about it. By that time, the truck will have run over the child and smashed him. See, I think it's time to act. I think it's time to act. And the issue is, what is the most important things we can do? Knowing danger is one of those. We're going to talk about 4 of them this week. Knowing danger, knowing truth, knowing the weapons, and then knowing God. I mean, really knowing God and all of this person and his agenda. So that we can know how to act. Protection isn't just a matter of hiding behind somebody. I keep saying in all the book materials we write and broadcasts that we do, the safest place to be in the end of days is in the active field work of God's mission. That's where the hand of God is most powerfully manifest. That's where the hand of God is most powerfully demonstrated in protection. Remember Peter in the book of Acts? He's put into prison. He's going to probably, either be beaten or even killed the next day. People are praying for him at Rhoda's house. And an angel of God comes and stands in front of him, tells him to get up. The chains fall off his wrists and legs. The guards are completely blinded. Whatever happened to them, they're not able to even do anything. Peter gets up and follows the angel. The iron barred gate, the scripture says, opens up all by itself. This is all being done while a small group of believers are pouring out prayer. So when I read to you Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, please understand, when I talk about praying, I mean prayer brings the power of the infinite God to bear and to manifest in the world around us. God's power can be demonstrated in Acts chapter 4, where it not only filled the people, but shook the physical building. It's time for believers to know not only the Word of God, but the power of God. The Word of God reveals the power of God. The Word of God calls on us to pray Matter of fact, in James, the righteous believer, their prayers are what? They're powerful and effective. We've read this. As I've said many times, the entire satanic kingdom cannot advance without the dark powers behind the scenes. And so we've said there are many covens. You cannot even believe the level of servants that are opening the doors and unleashing the dark powers. Globalism's final act is done based on the most powerful globally, well, it's a planetary wave of satanic presence and power, Revelation 16, where the spirits, the demonic, goes out to affect the kings of the world and bring them together. Armageddon is not going to happen without that supernatural dark power. And I'm telling you right now, before we get to that, which it hasn't occurred yet, that's prophecy. That may be, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years away. I don't know. But I'm telling you, it won't occur without that power. And so all the things that are going on in the world today are occurring on the basis. All the political ideology, all the military development, all the developments in the economic world, they have behind it spiritual influence. And if people are going to receive the dark side in that influence, then they're going to follow that agenda. You and I, who are believers in Christ, we would be praying, as Jesus taught, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's a pluperfect in the Greek. What does that mean? That means that we do not decide the will of God, but we do implement it. We don't decide the will of God. God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. But prayer helps to bring it about. Prayer helps to manifest. Prayer brings that power of God, the advancement of the cause of Christ, saving, healing, delivering, affecting culture. When great revivals have struck in England and the United States in the past, guess what happens? All of society can be infused with goodness, even the politics. It's important to realize whatever presence is manifesting, whatever you see the most of, is what's affecting the politics, society, and the direction, the current direction of history. And I'm saying that believers have a great role in shaping things as they're praying in the presence and power of God and as they are being devoted. Now, I'm going to tell you again that this idea is, well, it says prayer. Now, you read Colossians 4. We're looking at one verse. It could mean the difference for a local church. I was at a church. We've been visiting churches the last couple of weeks. We've been one place for a couple of years now, but we're visiting and looking. But what I keep looking for is there a local church on Sunday that will have more than 38, 68 seconds of prayer? Is there any church out there that will lead 300, 1,000 people in 15, 20 minutes of sustained prayer and intercession for the nation, for the lost, for the city they live in, for the power of God to move forward, for saving, healing, grace? Is there any church that will unleash the authority of Christ against the onslaught of dark powers as they are manifesting? So it can make or break some of what is going on. And I'm astounded that 400,000 churches will only give a few moments in its main gathering time to the most powerful weapon we have, not only in our protection, but again, to me, the greatest defense or protection is a great offense. A great offense of prayer. Offense of witnessing. That where God's presence comes through, manifests, shows, to the point that people are struck by the incredible presence of God. Now again, you can go back and read Acts 4 and see what occurred in prayer. It physically shook a building. Acts 6, Acts 8. Look what happens. So when the Spirit of God says in Colossians 4, 2, to devote yourself to prayer, to devote yourself to prayer, I think this is very important. It has the idea that there would be a not only a consistency here, but I mean a real commitment. I mean a real commitment, like Daniel in the book of Daniel. Man, he knew what society he lived in, and three times a day he'd be at the prayer post. Sometimes we need to pray just to keep ourselves strengthened up. It's how we build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Sometimes we need to realize that the advance of the kingdom of God, the ability to see the darkness crushed. Why did Jesus give us authority? He said it was to trample the dark side, to overcome all the power of the enemy, the devil. So why aren't we using it? Why aren't we opening our mouths in prayer, strong, sustained, committed prayers? So I am begging pastors and leaders to lead your church. Listen, the churches that lead out in prayers like this become the most spiritually active churches. They're the most powerful churches. Do the studies on it. Look at the book of Acts. It's to me, the template. It's the manual that we need nowadays in this present darkness. But I want you to see it again. Look at the verse, Colossians, just simply one verse tonight. Knowing danger. That's what this is topic. That's what the topic is tonight. How do we protect ourselves? We'll have a great offense. Number one, know the danger. Now, I'm saying here that this verse says, be devoted to prayer. Then it says, being watchful. You see that word, watchful? To keep awake. To be... You know what has the idea? And I was reading a number of biblical Greek scholars on this, and I love the one that said, the word has the idea that a person is actively looking for the impending danger. They are actively looking for the impending danger. Let me say it one more time. The word watch. God, the Holy Spirit, tells every Christian, watch. He tells us to pray. But as I pray, I'm also supposed to watch. Then it says, and be thankful, which involves worship and gratitude and reminders of the goodness of God. So this little verse covers three powerful elements that will be enormously effectual in our lives. On the one hand, prayer that brings the power of God, the hand of God, the work of God in advance, and brings the hand of God against darkness. But in the context of praying that, God says, watch. I'm going to emphasize that tonight, but it also says, and do it with thanksgiving. Be thankful. When you sit back, remember the old hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done. Listen, you can tie in Psalm 103. When you sit back and begin to think about what God has done, listen, if you're saved, if you don't know God, if you don't know Christ, I'm letting you know that knowing Him is the most powerful spiritual experience that initiates your relationship with God and can bring a history of His guidance, direction, power, help, healing, knowledge, intervention, purpose, fruitfulness. Oh, I tell you what, now that I've walked with Jesus for 35 years, I've got a host of, I can look over the answered prayer, the miracle, the things that God has done. And by thanking God over these issues, I remind myself. By thanking God, I can sometimes, you know, just simply bow down and worship, thinking what God has done. And it stirs my faith. You know what? When you give thanks to God, I think it builds your faith. Even when it's hard, a sacrifice of praise is hard. Even when it's hard, give thanks to God and thank God. Begin to go over all the things you're thankful for, because you know what? It builds your faith. Thankful for the Word of God. Thank you for the blood of Christ. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for the gift of immortality. Thank you for your intervention, and going on and on. Thank you for your ever-present, unceasing, unbroken presence. 35 years, Jesus Christ has never, God has never left me or forsaken me. In the hardest of times or the best of times, God's faithful. So I'm thankful. And in the midst of that thankfulness, let me tell you this. I look at prayer as part, like, for example, if you're going to get down for a half hour, an hour in prayer, you know, an hour, just, you know, I call it, you know, Andrew Murray, the great devotional writer, called it the morning watch. So if you want to call it the morning watch, it's great to do it in the morning. You cover the day before you go out into it. So if you get up in the morning and you're pouring out your prayers, and then spiritually, with biblically informed understanding, spirit-lit eyes, there's a sense in the midst of prayer, in the presence of God, watch, watch, watch for the impending danger. Now I'm going to give you a story. It goes back to the biblical times when the early disciples, well, they're just sitting there with Jesus. They're sitting there with Jesus. And they're eating and they're fellowshipping, and here's God in human flesh, and they've heard him and they've seen him, and they're fellowshipping. God loves fellowship, by the way. He loves just being with you and interacting with you. Look at Genesis before the fall. God came in visible form and walked with us, humanity, in the garden, fellowshipping. God could be infinite and amazing, but he's the most relational being. He loves being with us. Of course, sin and Satan separates it. It's our fault. But Jesus brings it all back. If you want to come back to God, back home to God, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so turn to him, receive him, accept him, believe on him, take him in. God comes into your life. The power of God comes into your life. The life of God comes into your life. The gift of indestructible immortality. Now, as a believer then, in a world that is in spiritual battle and clash, I can learn to pray. I can remember the first prayer answer I ever got. When I first got saved, because I wasn't raised in a church. I would never go to a church. I was a pagan kid, man. I was out there going to bars and fighting and going to a Buddhist temple. That's where I was. But when I got saved, I wanted to go, and I went to Kmart because I didn't know where else to buy a Bible, so I bought a Bible at Kmart. And I heard the preacher guy, and I didn't know what a preacher was. I was only going to church 2 or 3 weeks, but I heard him talking about prayer. And so I made up a little list, 3 things that week. That day, I wrote down, I'm praying for my shoulder to be healed, because I had surgery on it years before. Got a big scar on that shoulder. Couldn't throw a football. Couldn't lift a weight. Then I prayed, God, I need a job. I'm a young person, 19 years old then, and I'm looking for a job. And then I prayed a third thing, which I won't mention here, but it was a third prayer. Now, you know what? I prayed that a couple times during the week. You know, of course, went to work, reading, trying to grow. I came back the next week, and that same preacher guy was up there. And he's talking about things in prayer, and all of a sudden, I looked down, and I realized, my shoulder, I'm telling you the truth before God, the Lord knows this, and I give thanks to the living Christ. My shoulder was healed. I really realized my shoulder was healed. Out of all those years of agony with it, I was able, from that point on to this day, I was able to lift weights, throw a football, do whatever. The scar's still there. But I know that God touched that shoulder, and it was real. Second thing was this. That week, I got a phone call, and I got interviewed, and I got a job, and I began to work for it was a great big condominium complex. And I began to work there. And the third part of my prayer was answered. You know, as a brand new believer, when all three of those things in 1 week were done, if I would have had a wig, it probably would have just flipped right off my head. Because I was amazed. You know what it did? It made me want to draw up a bigger, larger prayer list. It made me realize that Jesus said, ask, you'll receive, seek, you'll find, knock, and doors will be open. He also taught, don't you ever give up. That's a word for one of you right now. Don't you ever give up. If you've laid the prayer mantle down, get back to it. Jesus said, never give up. When the story of the man that came at night and needed bread and the other man didn't have any, so he went next door, he knocked on the door, and the man on the inside said, it's late at night, I'm in bed, whatever. And the man that needed the bread for his friend wouldn't go away. He just would not go away. He kept knocking and knocking and knocking until the other man got up and gave him everything he needed. Jesus taught that principle in prayer. And he said, literally the word means shameless persistence. Because of his persistence, but it was a shameless persistence. Jesus said, because of the man's shameless persistence, he got all that he needed and more. And that's where the context comes in, where Jesus says we ought always to pray and never give up. Listen, if God needs to tell me no about something, I'm open to that because he knows everything in the future and everything around. He knows better. When my little daughter at 3 years old asked me a question, or if she wanted me to buy her a cow and bring it home and put it in the bedroom, I knew better. I knew better than to buy her a cow and bring it and put it in the bedroom. As a three-year-old, she had no idea of the implications of buying a real cow and bringing it home and putting it in the bedroom. I know my wife would have had a cow. Listen to me. Prayer is massive. There is no advance to the kingdom. There is no healing. There is no deliverance. There are no revivals without it. Jesus said, ask, you'll receive, seek, you'll find, knock, door will be opened. And don't you ever stop. Because of the shameless persistence of a believer that can stand at the throne of grace where God has said, come here with boldness. Come here with freedom of access and pray. It's a throne of grace, not works. It's a throne of grace, not hard knocks. It's a throne of grace, not a throne of resistance. A throne of grace means where God wills goodness, and he wills his power, and he wills his advance for the salvation of humanity. God wills that salvation. He wills that healing. He wills the advance of the kingdom. He wills to bring destruction to the satanic order. And so, can I ask you a question? You got to get real close. You got to listen up real carefully. In the book of 1 John chapter 5, I read these words. This is the confidence. The Greek word can say confidence, assurance. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, we know, the Greek word hoida, we know factually, by fact, God, akouo, hearkens to and hears our prayer. We know that. And if we know that God, akouo, that he hearkens to our prayer, then we should also, hoida, factually know that we'll have the answers. God has done everything to give us confidence in prayer, assurance of answered prayer. God designed prayer not to be a miserable, squirming weakness of scratching out little tidbits of God's grace. God designed prayer, and I believe this is based on John's Gospel chapter 15, that answers would be brought about, that the kingdom would be advanced, that fruit would be bore, and that miracles would occur. Now, as I say all these things, what does that have to do with today's topic? knowing danger? Well, because when you read Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, when the Holy Spirit says, be devoted to prayer, the idea of praying earnestly, being watchful, powerful big old word here. This gregoru, it's an incredible word. It's a present active participle. It's the idea that we are spiritually attuned and awake to what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. He who has ears to hear and I, you know, he who has eyes to see, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. When the disciples met with Jesus, they had no knowledge. They're eating and fellowshipping. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has just asked to sift, the Greek word is all of you guys, to sift all of you as wheat, to tear you guys up. Now here they are fellowshipping, having a good time in the safety and the company of God in human flesh. And Jesus, the only one in the room that was attentive, that was aware, that was watchful of the impending danger. Your enemy, the God the Holy Spirit says in the book of Peter chapter 5, your enemy the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The Holy Spirit will give you a heads up. The Holy Spirit can give us an insight to the impending danger. The idea of watchfulness here is for what? To look at the scenery? It doesn't so much reflect the idea of watching what God is doing, although that can be included. Actually, prayer is that activity where we're seeking and watching and involved with seeing what God is doing. Thankfulness at the end of this is where we are built up and reminded about all that God has done and can do again and again and again. Can I tell you a secret? This is not a secret, but I think it's a secret to some people. I think some people don't realize this. You ready for this? You better write this down. God's not tired of giving miracles. Miracles and grace and mercy has not run out. Great power can be released in U.S. military, in U.S. politics, in the United States of America. See, I think some people think the danger and the critical time is that we're living in is so packed with evil that, again, they're going to run off, put their head under a pillow. They're going to get on the telephone and call somebody else. They're going to cover their ears, close their eyes, and just make noises. To me, that is just being a babbling fool. When you could run out the door and do what's necessary to see people get saved, healed, delivered. They can't get saved without hearing the message. Prayers can't be answered unless they're prayed until they're answered. And have I said yet tonight, don't you ever give up. Shameless persistence. God wills to answer prayer. It's not about a game. Now, there's spiritual battles out there, like in Daniel's day. A territorial spirit could be blocking and fighting off angels that might be bringing answers. That's why I'm saying you don't pray until the answer. You don't pray until that answer is given. I have no problem if God says, hey, you know what the answer is, Russ? No. I want you to do something that, you know, a different way. Fine. God knows better. I have no problem with that. I don't want to waste my time in prayer. I want to be effectual. Have you ever been inspired to think, God, I want to get the most out of prayer that I can. I want to get as much of heaven and grace and mercy and the power of God into this world through prayer and witnessing and being a servant of Christ that I possibly can. But it involves, my friend, watching. In the context of praying for the miracles and praying for the power of God and praying for the advancement of the cause of Christ and praying for lost friends and praying for all these things, you know what else? Watch for the impending danger. Mark down the things. When you know biblical revelation about what the enemy is doing, when you see what's occurring in your neighborhood, when you see what's happening in the curriculum at the local school, when you see what's happening in the government or in the military, if you see what's happening and you're in some of the top level places in military and government, and you know that it's coming from the dark side, then you better, listen, if you're watching and you're spiritually attentive and you're looking for any impending danger and you begin to see it, what do you do as a prayer sniper? You know, spiritually, if you're in prayer and you see the enemy sticking up his head, going to go do this, he's going to do this or this, you've got to either pray it down with the authority of Christ. You've got to get others enlisted to pray against the devil's activities and his works. You've got to make sure you're praying for the advancement of the cause of Christ and the power of God. Listen, if you get the picture, and you can't get it without looking or watching for the impending danger, God's given us a tool. Prayer, on the one hand, powerful things can be done or will be done. Thanksgiving, on the other hand, reminds us of the incredible goodness of God. Packed in the middle is this thing called watch, knowing the impending danger that's coming, knowing what's happening. And I pray that the Lord Jesus will instill this word of God into you. That as a great servant, you'll be a powerful prayer warrior, a great spirit-filled, Word of God-lit watcher. And when you see it, and when you see what's going on, to respond. I see our nation running out into the street. It's ready to grab its destiny, but it's not looking at the impending danger of globalism, socialism, atheism, New Ageism, Satanism. Thankful what God has done in my life, it spurs me on to say what He can do in yours. But listen to me right now. Be someone who knows about the impending danger. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.